Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I am thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. And what a story I have for you today. I am joined in this conversation by Amanda Catton. She joins us here from the Hampton Roads area, and what a great conversation this ends up being. I was so thrilled to be able to get Amanda on, to connect with her, and to bring this conversation again, another one of those perspectives. And if you are like Amanda and have that story you have to share, not that you know anything else, but that you have to share, let me know. Email me, andrew@runandrev.com. I would love to get more guests on this podcast, more of these great stories. And so if you're listening to this and this story hits you and you want to share yours, let me know. Send me an email. But I'm so excited to be joined by Amanda in this episode. So let's jump into this conversation. Welcome in today, everybody. I am joined by Amanda Runs VA. And if you haven't seen her on Instagram, you should definitely give her a follow. She is big over here. Again, we're in the Hampton Roads area, kind of returning here after a couple of weeks of being gone. We've been out to Los Angeles. We've been to Richmond. Now we're back here to Hampton Roads, specifically the peninsula. And so, Amanda, how are you doing today?
Great. And yourself?
I'm doing well, doing well. And so, Amanda, again, this is another one where Amanda, we kind of connected in a weird, odd way. And she's friends with Jules, who you know was on a couple of weeks ago, or gosh, I guess it's been almost a month now. And so I saw Amanda engaging, saw what's going on in her feed and how everything is going for her. She came out and joined Run Summo Run Night. And so I'm excited to share this story and have a conversation with Amanda, but let's kick off where we always do. Amanda, what is your community and what makes your community awesome?
Well, I always like to start with my spouse. He is definitely my biggest supporter and largest cheerleader. And then I currently work for Point Two Running in Newport News. So I've attended quite a few of their group runs, and that's a big a part of the community and in my running aspect as well.
And what about other groups? Are you engaged beyond just, I mean, I say just as if working for Point Two, working for a run specialty store is not enough. It really is. But you know, where are you getting out to? Are you running with groups? Are you doing a lot of Point Two based stuff? You know, I know you came out to Run Summo, but where are you getting out to being stationed and based out of Newport News and on the peninsula?
I went to Newport News, the Point Two running group at 1700 Brewing a couple times, even before I got employed there, just because I wanted to meet other runners. You know, it often feels lonely out there when, especially those early morning miles, just logging them by yourself. But when I found that group, it was really convenient. I also have another group that I run with occasionally called Trail Sisters that is in the Hampton Roads area. I don't meet up with them as much. I think it's very sparse. It's probably like once a month, but it's also super nice to just have that Trail Sister community with you. And then, yeah, I'm non-biased when it comes to run groups. I like to show up and show out when I can. If I'm off that evening and it's not the same night as the Point Two group, I don't mind. Like joining your guys' group was so much fun, by the way. Everybody was so welcoming. So really appreciate that.
Well, and you caught us on a fun night because, you know, listeners, we try not to cancel our run group. It doesn't matter what the weather's doing. And so Amanda is emailing and messaging me, hey, are you guys still on? There was like a torrential downpour thunderstorm moving through Portsmouth area. And I told her, I'm like, look, we don't cancel. We encourage folks, like, use your best judgment when coming out. And, you know, knowing that she was coming across a bridge or through a tunnel, you know, I wasn't sure kind of what to say. She's like, all right, well, I'm going to come. And then what did it do? It like cleared up for like 5 minutes when we got started. And then all of a sudden we're all out there on the trail. It is absolutely dumping buckets on us.
It was very soupy, extra soup in the shoe, lots of squish. It was a day.
But, you know, I think for me, at least, I think that's one of the things that's so special about the running community in Virginia Beach is that there is this affinity to
you know, we're aware and cognizant of the weather, right? And I think if we had truly thought that that another thunderstorm was about to blow through, you know, we would have said, all right, y'all don't want to go out and run today. Let's just kind of hang out here at the brewery and have some fun. But what is that desire to really get out and to be a part of groups and to join run clubs? Oftentimes when you have no idea if you're actually going to get to run, like there's always that aspect, but even more so doing that for the community base.
Yeah. I'm just a big cheerleader and I like to show up and show out. So if that means showing up with a bunch of strangers and just getting a couple miles in torrential downpour rain, that's what's going to happen. I think it's also just cool to see a wide variety of ages out there. And I think just bringing people into the running community and just showing them that it doesn't have to be so competitive. It's just about having a good time and doing that while movement is a part of that. So that's why I'm like, yeah, just go out there. You'll be fine.
Well, so anytime, especially nowadays, you know, I hear that, you know, we don't have to be competitive. And I love that aspect about this sort of running boom that's happening right now. And listeners are probably getting tired of me talking about it, but it's one of the greatest things that this running boom that's happening here in 2020s is not about time. It's not about speed. It's not about strength. It's not about any of these things, but it's just about, hey, let's get out. Let's have fun. Let's do all these things. So what has your running journey looked like that has led you to this point? Are you someone who is coming off of a competitive streak as a youth or even a young adult runner? Are you coming to running as an adult and you're looking for this fun communal aspect? Where are you coming from?
Well, of course, in high school, I did quite a few sports. I did softball, soccer. And, you know, when I was younger, I was very active. I did gymnastics and competitive cheer for a while. And then, of course, I got married and had a baby. And in between the baby and married life, I would escape. I saw escape. But I would go to the gym still and use the treadmill. And I've always just been running off and on ever since I've had my oldest, so 14 years. But I would say it really started to like grow into me 8 years ago. I had a neighbor who one day was like, "You run a lot. Have you ever ran a race?" And I was like, "No, why on earth would you pay to do that?" I just thought it was so absurd. I was like, "I don't need a medal or like a banana or a t-shirt. Like, I'm just out here just to enjoy it." And she was like, "Well, you know, it's just different. You should try it." And she really talked me into it. So my first race was a half marathon, a rock and roll in San Antonio. And ever since then, I crossed that finish line and I was like, that's it. We're doing more. So it has really just taken over. I would still say that I'm not competitive. I'm definitely middle of the pack. But I enjoy every aspect of it, regardless of if you're a 7 minute mile or a 14 plus minute mile. A mile is a mile. The challenge is there. You either let your mind win or your body win sometimes because maybe you have an injury. But either way, that mile, regardless of how long it took you, is still a mile. It's still an accomplishment. And I constantly humble myself, even when I get home from a run and my husband's like, "How many did you run this morning?" And I'll be like, "Oh yeah, just 6. And then I'll be like, "Wait, 6 miles is a big deal." Because it is.
It is, yeah.
So I constantly remind myself and pull myself back down. I'm like, hey, being thankful, being humble for your body's ability to even make it through that time, 60 minutes, 90 minutes plus, you know, it's a big deal. Your body is, you're doing a lot with it. Like, give yourself grace. You don't have to be so hard on yourself.
Yeah. And you use a word that I've tried to get myself out of, and it's so hard to do it. You know, that word just like, oh, yes. I just ran 5 miles. And, you know, for someone else, 5 miles might be the longest they've ever run. And not that I'm trying to be aware and cognizant in terms of other people, but also there's that aspect of being grateful for the ability to run. You know, I talked about it with Paisley, where we get to run. We don't have to run, but we get to. And I think back to that rainy run where I'm sitting there, it's like 5:30, and I'm literally following this front that's coming through Portsmouth to try and see, am I going to get to run? Because I really want to run. Right. And so what is that feeling like when you're sitting there? You know, are you an antsy person of wanting, you know, kind of like me, where it's like, man, I really want to run today. I really want to get out there and log some miles and whatever it looks like. You know, are you sometimes forcing yourself out the door and saying, all right, I need to get this running. I have to get this running. And what's that mindset for you as you're existing in those spaces?
I mean, when I find myself, like, I guess, lack of motivation, I always try to write down like what it is that I'm trying to let my excuse be. That sounds really silly. But like, if I'm like, oh, I have too much laundry, or I have to meal prep, or I'm trying to make up an excuse, I'll try to write it down. And I know that sounds really silly, but pen to paper, I don't know, it really registers for me. I feel like a lot of people kind of just avoid the pen and paper, but I'm very pro pen and paper. I think it's just a great idea to write down why do you feel that lack of motivation? And then just like looking at it, because when you read it and you say it out loud back to yourself, you kind of like make yourself self-aware of like, oh, that's so silly. Like, I could have just gone outside for 30 minutes and called it. Like, and it also just doesn't have to be so. For example, if your coach gave you, I don't know, a 4 to 5 mile run and you only had an allotment of time for 30 minutes or 20 minutes, like, I try to maximize whatever I can accomplish in that time and just let it go. Like, it's okay. Another day, tomorrow's another day, or we'll try to get it, catch up to it. And if we don't, then we don't. Like, a lot of us are parents, at least in quite a bit of the running community that I experience, parents, you know, or going to grad school, or we're all different beings outside of running. We just love the sport. So in order to keep my love for it, I have to remind myself, okay, like, it's okay to let that workout or day go and start on the next day. Like, try not to focus, I guess, so much on what I couldn't accomplish, focus on what I can accomplish.
And so what is that, I guess, scheduling, day planning look like? Are you, you know, I mean, whether it's morning, evening run, you know, trying to find the coolest part of the day, what does scheduling a run look like? Do you try and say, you know, at the beginning of the week, all right, I want to be able to run during like this period of the day? Do you pre-plan when you're going to run groups? Like, what does your scheduling look like? And then when you get to the day, what's sort of the mindset of saying, you know, I want to get my run in at 6 a.m., but one of my kids is already awake and I want to make sure that they don't wake up my wife. So I'm just like, all right, well, I guess I'll have to shift this. So what is that? You know, do you pre-look at your week and say, all right, I'm going to try and here's my windows of opportunities for runs. And then what does it look like even doing the runs themselves and trying to deal with all of those, I guess, the chaos of life that comes in?
Yeah. I'm actually, summertime is my most erratic schedule as a parent and runner. I really just try to get out there when I can. So sometimes that will be in the middle of the afternoon. I'll take the dog and we'll go hit a local trail. Sometimes that's really early in the morning, and sometimes it's a little bit later in the evening. Summer is my most, like I said, inconsistent schedule, but once the kids are in school, I'm really disciplined about being out there early in the morning. And I think just having a solid morning routine just really is just the cherry on top of there. So I'll pick out my outfit the night before. I'll have like a Huma gel right next to my toothbrush. So once I'm done brushing my teeth, I down the gel, a little bit of water, stretch a little bit, grab the dog, hit the road. So it's just, I think having all like that stuff ready in the morning doesn't allow me to negotiate really in my brain and just lay there and be like, this bed is so comfortable. So I think having that ready. And then also sometimes, like, it's like, because we're parents, like you said, sometimes your kids up early or they were sick all night, so you didn't rest because you were up, you know, with them. So I'll just be like, all right, well, we'll see later in the day. If we have time, we have time. And if we don't, then we don't. Like, and if I don't have time though, but I have like a little bit of time inside the house, like 10 to 15 minutes, I'll try to make sure to do like a dynamic stretch, even just a little bit of yoga or a little bit of strength training. I'm a little bit spoiled. I bought a Peloton bike, and then I also have a rower. And so if I have time in between there, especially if I don't have time to escape for a run, I will click a class real quick, knock one out, even if it's just 20 minutes, because movement is movement, whatever means necessary. I honor it to the best of my ability.
And so what does it look like to give yourself that grace if you can't get a run in? Because I think a lot of runners, they'll get in the mindset of almost getting upset when they can't get a run in, especially when it's external factors, right? It's not into, you know, right. I think we runners, we can get really grumpy if we don't get our run in. And so what sort of grace are you offering to yourself? You know, are you someone who kind of beats yourself up when you can't run and be like, oh man, like, oh, I should have run earlier or, you know, something like that? Or are you kind of offering yourself and saying, all right, I couldn't run today. You know, tomorrow's a new day. Let's get back out there and get it.
Yeah, I would say definitely option B there. I'm just more like, it's all right. Just let it. I feel like the more you stress about it, the more you feel, I don't want to say resentment, but you just harbor some type of feeling about missing that run. And while, yes, it's important to me that I do go out there and do something that I enjoy up out of my day, because most of us, like I said, are parents or, you know, even a caregiver, like, you know, taking care of a parent, you're trying to get your time in. I just try to just make sure that my mindset is just, it's okay to let it be. It's okay to substitute a rest day there. Or like I said, hop on and do a quick little 15, 20 minute class. And I'm just like, okay, movement is good. Just, just a little bit, not a lot, but what I can get in is what I can get in.
And for your mental mindset, how important is that? Even just beyond, say, you know, wrestling with yourself about whether or not you can get a run in, but even just, I find when I get movement in, no matter what it is, whether it's a run or a walk or something along those lines, you know, my mentality seems to improve for the day. What is that? What is movement? Just basic movement, getting something done. What does that do for your mentality?
I mean, it helps a lot. It just helps me focus in the moment of what it is I'm trying to do. Lunges, squats, cycling, like I said, rowing. It just distracts me long enough to where once that's done and I get that little endorphin fix, I'm like, okay, deep breath, got to carry on with the rest of the day.
And to kind of jump over to where you're getting involved in the community of being able to get out, being able to do a lot of these clubs, events, groups, what does that look like for you? Because I think, you know, the other side of it is balancing this training, you know, communal aspect with the busyness of life. And you talk about, you know, having kids, you talk about even having a job, even though it's at a run specialty store, all of these different things. So what is that work-life balance? What is that family running balance? What does that look like for you as you're trying to engage, not just as a runner yourself and say, all right, you know, tell your husband, hey, watch the kids for a little bit. I'm going out for a 4-mile run by myself. But it's a completely different thing to tell your husband, hey, I'm about to drive across the river and join a run group. I'm probably going to be gone for a couple of hours. You know, how are you balancing those kinds of things?
Well, just with lots of heads up. Just as the same as he would if he's going to be doing an event or, I don't know, going golfing with his buddies or, I don't know, he's actually quite a homebody. So he just, but he does like a good heads up, which is fair, as anybody should. I think that that's fair. I give him a good amount of heads up, like a week out. I'm like, hey, I'm going to do this thing. And even though it might not register the first time, but like I'll give reminders. Just to let him know, like, hey, yeah, this one's going to be a little bit longer than if I was just at Newport News for run group or otherwise. But yeah, just making sure that I let my partner know so that he has the time to watch the kids. And then also, even if he is not home, I have an older daughter. She's almost 15 already, and she does babysit. I mean, of course I pay her, but if I ask her, you know, in advance, because I try not to just spring it upon her. Also, I try to be really graceful or to the best of my ability. I was also an older daughter, so I know what it's like to constantly be watching your siblings, but I'll let her know. I'll be like, hey, I'll give you like, you know, $10 if you watch the kids for me for about an hour so I can go running. And you know, that never hurts for her to hear that. She's like, oh yeah, yeah, okay. So I mean, I guess I'm pretty spoiled in that aspect. I have two pretty big supporters in the house, but even if not, I have had times where, you know, she's at school and I have the youngest with me and we'll just go over to the track. And thankfully, she's pretty well and she'll just run around the track or hang out in the middle and I'll do a quick little track workout. I think it's just about, as a person, being more flexible, especially when you have external factors that don't allow you to kind of do what you want to do.
Do you find that flexibility to make it harder for you to get into these training cycles? Have you noticed that maybe it impacts your ability to do things that you might want to do or would like to do?
I mean, a little bit, of course, but that's just, I feel like, parenthood, or even if you're married, you know, sometimes as a couple, you guys, even if you don't have kids, like he wants to do something and you as a spouse, you know, are going to be supportive of his decision. So that might mean that, you know, you're a little bit more alone than he's out doing his hobby and vice versa. And I think that that's just, you know, it's a part of the, it's part of the teamwork dynamic. You're each going to have your own thing. Supporting each other on that is a big, big part of that.
And so what have you learned working in the run specialty space? Like let's jump over there for a little bit. You know, what got you involved in this space? Like, I mean, it's not that it's weird, but you know, I always find it interesting that people who are working at run specialty stores, you know, did you have a different career before this? You know, what brought you into this space? What was that like?
Okay, so before I got hired at Point Two, I had worked for Starbucks for 12 years. I don't mind the Starbucks still. I just needed a change of pace. Working at Starbucks as a barista and as a shift supervisor, it's kind of like there's always a fire that you have to put out. And it's just on all day because you're open all day. And yeah, I just grew a little tired of that. And I knew it was time for a change. And I had recently, earlier this year, obtained my run coach certification with RRCA. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to apply at this running store, and thankfully got in. And the insight into working for a small local business in running is actually pretty amazing. You know, most of the people that we get that come to the store are actually not runners. They're just trying to get a better shoe for their foot, from really suggestions from orthopedic doctors, mainly because a lot of people, I don't want to like generalize, but generally a lot of people are trying to wear shoes that are, you know, cute or aesthetically pleasing. And those end up, you know, end up hurting you later. Like if you wore a pair of Converse or Vans all day at, let's just say, Busch Gardens, and, you know, the next day your body is screaming at you. It's like, oh my gosh, why am I so sore? And so quite a few people will come in that aren't in the running community at all, or just beginner runners too, to get their first pair of shoes, because we do offer a gait analysis. And so, yeah, that's, it's always pretty interesting to see like what we're going to get that day.
And when you're doing the running store stuff, you know, how much does that coaching education come into play? You know, obviously we heard from you, from John, we've heard from others, you know, run specialty stores, they become so much more than about running. They've really become the more lifestyle, right? Movement lifestyle and stuff like that. And people want something that's going to care for their bodies as they're moving around. And so how much do you find a lot of that run coaching training bleeding into how you're helping a lot of these people, not in their run not in their running lives, but just in their moving lives?
Yeah, definitely just making sure that, you know, they know about life expectancy of shoes, because quite a few people will be wearing the same pair of sneakers for 2 to 3 years. And then they're like, I'm getting shin splints or my ankles are hurting. And so, you know, just vouching and letting them know like, hey, 6 to 9 months is like the life of your foam in that shoe, depending on how often you're planning on wearing it. And a lot of people are always flabbergasted by that, which, you know, we of course, as a shoe person and lover myself, I wish the shoe would last a little bit longer, you know, but, and I wish it could be just like, you know, you holding your like holy grail shoe and just being like, that's it, that's it. But of course, these brands make new iterations, the foam does expire. And, you know, your body starts to tell you after a while of you wearing that shoe, like you get that little niggle in your ankle, your hips, your knees, the lower body pain whatsoever. You know, that's a good key sign that I try to tell all of the people that come in to point to, like, hey, listen to your body. Like, it will tell you. It's your body's an amazing tool, and it will tell you right away if that shoe, if you've worn it for too long, you know, it'll tell you, hey, it's time for a new one.
Yeah. And what about outside of the running space? You know, what does your run coaching look like for you?
I'm actually partnered with a company called Team Run Run. If you haven't heard of that, it's kind of like Instagram for coaches, for run coaches specifically. And you can log on to their website, teamrunrun.com. And there's a variety of coaches on there. So we've got beginning coaches, ultra coaches, triathlon coaches. And it's from a variety of prices as well. So anywhere, I think I've seen a coaching offered at $40 a month plus. So 40 plus. And I just think that's the platform itself is really cool. I've had an opportunity to meet quite a few of the coaches and the owner themselves. And it's just, I think that is so unique because I had never heard of it prior to hiring my own personal run coach and then now run coaching through them as well.
And what are some of the things that you find yourself working with athletes a lot on as you're leading them and guiding them through things?
I've had actually quite a few beginner runners since this, as you mentioned, running boom kind of started post COVID. Quite a few of them just kind of like, you know, there's just so much information and they feel a little overwhelmed. So just being able to kind of walk them through and slowly get them into a running routine and making sure, you know, that they have the proper shoes and they're drinking well and eating well, just overall wellness of an athlete for beginning runners. I was lucky enough to coach a couple of runners who placed already for trail races, which, I mean, so amazing. And I've only been doing it since February. So I'm like, oh my gosh, they're taking all of the things and they're just taking it and going with it. I'm so excited about that.
Do you kind of pull that joy in as yourself too? Like when you see your athletes do well, right?
It's so exciting.
And it's almost uplifting for your own journey too. Not that, you know, we kind of want to tout ourselves and say, oh, look how great a coach I am. But even more so, when you see your athletes do well and you think to yourself, man, that's such a boost to my running as well. You know, there's always the question of what are the things you're teaching as a coach? But as a coach, what are some things that you're learning from your runners and your athletes?
Probably just patience, along with all of the many things that we don't want to hear as adults, because we're like, I want it now. But just patience overall. I mean, any athlete, whatever sport, as the Olympics are on, whatever sport we are, whatever we're watching or we plan on doing, we have to know in our brain, we have to constantly remind ourselves, like, that took so much patience. That took so much time. That took so much training. You know, like, you don't wake up and just run, you know, a 2-hour marathon. That was definitely not something that anybody has been capable of doing until we've just recently found that. Well, I say recently, but I just mean 2000s plus. But I just mean, like, it took time. It takes time, and time means patience. It means patience and you as an athlete learning what works best for you. Because what works for you, what works for me is probably not what works for you. Because we're two different athletes, and that's fine. So figuring that out is a big factor. And I think that's what beginners, when they're coming to me as a coach, is I think that's what is the best part, really. It's just trying to figure out what works best for them. And then seeing the fruit of that labor when they, you know, go and place at a trail race. So that's pretty exciting.
And how much of your own journey kind of plays a role into that as you're looking at some of these athletes that you're coaching, that you're helping through the fold? You know, do you find yourself thinking back on your journey of, you know, I wish I had this, maybe bit of encouragement, maybe this sort of support? You know, are they asking you things that kind of you've wrestled with in your own journey as well?
Absolutely. Especially now that it's summer, and summer, I find hydration to be always a big factor because so many of us, especially heavy sweaters, you know, we're losing an unnatural amount of salt. So making sure that I'm telling my athletes like, hey, make sure you're rehydrating. Water is not good enough. While I would love it for it to just be water, but we also need electrolytes, Liquid IV, Scratch, Huma. I mean, so many amazing brands that, you know, offer so that proper electrolyte mix for an endurance athlete. So that is a big thing that I've talked about with quite a few of my athletes is like, hey, make sure, because the reason why a lot of those runs also you're starting to feel a little like I don't want to say like crappy about it, I guess, like you just feel like low energy or lethargic and you're like, oh, I don't want to go out there. It's so hot. And then it's like, have you had enough salt today? And then I, you know, making sure that I'm asking them that. And then they think that and they're like, oh, well, I didn't have that much, I guess. I'm like, okay, let's make sure we're monitoring that because that is a big factor into how you're going to feel during the run, after the run. And then, of course, immediately after running, to the best of your ability, putting something with a good amount of protein into the body is very high up there, especially when I'm talking to, like I said, beginner runners, beginner athletes.
And it's such a tough thing because and even knowing it from my perspective as, you know, someone who's an above average sweater and even beyond just the salt part of it is just the nature of understanding your body and how your body reacts in certain situations. Like I can't wear long pants even in the winter because I will still sweat and the amount of water that I lose makes it so much more difficult. And even thinking, especially with some of my youth athletes of, no, even when it's cold outside, you need to make sure that you're staying properly hydrated in terms of getting things in. I often think that hydration is one of the hardest things that we have to do as runners because there are so many factors that kind of play into it. And we want to think it's as easy as, okay, just make sure you're drinking the right amount of water during the day. But like you said, sometimes we got to think about the electrolytes, getting the potassiums and the salts and all of those things to make sure that it's not just the hydration side of it, but making sure that we're also replenishing the parts of our system that kind of hold and lock in that hydration. And especially as someone who is like a huge sweater, I hate summer running. I despise summer running so much. There's been a couple of times they joke that it's like I come back to MOMAC and they're like, Andrew, did you go running or swimming? I'm like, both. When we do it right, and I think this is one of the things that I've noticed in the running community as we all learn and grow together is, you know, learning that there are those little, you know, places of knowledge that exist within our running community. And one of the things that I'm beginning to see, especially as we look at this, you know, all of these new beginner runners starting to come in, starting to love the sport, is you have all of these runners who just have this like wealth of knowledge and understanding of the sport. Not even just from a pure strength speed perspective, but just in terms of an enjoyment perspective, because I can think of how miserable I am on summer runs when I am just, you know, 6 miles into a long run. I have sweat just every single place, every single crevice. My shorts are soaked. It's like dripping in my eyes and I'll get back and people it'll look like I just didn't enjoy my run. And I'm like, oh no, I enjoyed it. And then the question is, well, how do you enjoy that? I mean, how are you conveying joy to a lot of these folks? Because they might not be looking for the fastest time. You know, you're not looking at people who are trying to go sub-3 in the marathon or even sub-3:30. You're looking at folks who are doing, you know, 4 or 5 hours for a marathon and they're doing the marathon for fun, for enjoyment, and they're looking for enjoyment out of it. And so what are some of the things that you're now conveying to those folks who it's not about getting faster, getting stronger, but those sorts of, you know, buzzwords that we put with running, they're interpreted differently to folks, right? Because faster for someone who's doing like a 5-hour marathon might be like 4:45, and stronger might just be like, I get to mile 20 and I don't feel like shit. And so that's kind of, those are great definitions. I wish I could run marathons. What are some of the things that you're learning in your journey? And what are some of the things that you're then conveying for that fun side? How are we keeping it fun, even when it sucks? Because it is 90 degrees outside. the dew point is 82 and we're just absolutely boiling in a pot of soup.
Yes. Just really harvesting in on your why, I think, is a big, big factor. Why are you showing up to this 90 degree, 80% humidity? Just beginning of the boiling soup run. Why? For most of my athletes, I always want to go back to circling back to your why and making sure consistency is a big, big factor. Your why tells you why you should be consistent, and then the discipline of consistency, regardless of how long you have to go, you know, and then also summer running is just, it's the price you pay to have a really good fall race.
It's true. It's true.
That is your ticket that you're going to, you paid for your race already. Okay. So the race is there. It's on the calendar. You've got it booked. You're seeing your plan. And so the ticket to get to that, more importantly, is paying the price of summer running. And summer running is a really big price to pay. And it sucks. There's no cute way around it. But I think just, yeah, the consistency and giving yourself grace. If it is absolutely 90, 80% humidity, do the walk run. Why is that not okay for anybody? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm very pro walk run, especially in summer. You know, walk, run 5 minutes, take a two-minute jog or a two-minute walk break, you know, or even if you need a full recovery, stand there for 2 minutes, drink a little bit of your electrolytes, have a little gummy if you have to, or whatever pleases you, a sandwich. You know, trail running tends to have a whole buffet of snacks out there. So you can have a bag of potato chips with you. It's just fine. Whatever will help motivate you to finish what it is you're out there to do is, I'm always like, just go for it.
And so what is your why? Like, we've talked a lot about, you know, just the nature of running, getting out there, doing it, you know, let's hear why. I mean, and we've kind of probably batted around this for the last 30 minutes or so. But what is Amanda's why?
My why is more like, why not? And that sounds really silly, but it is what it is. To me, I run very selfishly. I don't run for anybody else. I run for myself to prove to myself in my mind when it tells me no, that I can. And that's, I think, everybody's biggest competitor is your inner thoughts, right? So you're constantly battling between there all the time. Like, do I really want to go out and do this run? Even though I know it's going to be, you know, regardless of what time I get out there, it's going to be hot. It's going to be gross. The humidity, the bugs. And then we've been getting these random rainstorms. So I'm like, but why? And then I always have to remind myself, I'm like, because my brain is telling me no, but my body knows yes. Because every time I finish a run, or a workout, or whatever it is, every time you finish, there's always that feeling of accomplishment. I did it, even though I didn't want to do it most of the time. And then that's just a part of the process. Also, knowing that, like, you know, knowing that not all of the runs are going to be amazing. That's having a really good run is that's what keeps you coming back for more. But equally as important is the, oh, that run was okay. And then the other run, which, oh my God, that just freaking blew. I hated it. I hated every ounce of it. Every part of my body was screaming, my calves, my hams, my quad, like the whole thing, ever, all of it, my arms. I was like, ugh, why? Why would I do this? But all of those are equally as important. We just always want to focus on what's good. And if we didn't get the good, it's like, but why? So yeah. I think it's just really important just all around. And then my why, like I said, is just for me. The run is for myself, and it's to beat myself, really, just to show myself, yes, I could do it. Even when I was miserable, it happened, regardless of how long that watch or that mile was, like going back to the beginning, no matter how long it was still work that was done, work that I did. So just overall sense of accomplishment there.
Well, and I mean, you say your why is selfish, and I, you know, kind of thought about that a little bit as you were talking there of, you know, I wonder, that's kind of the nature of our why, right? It's meant to be selfish. It's meant to be about me. Yeah. And that, I think, is the cooler thing when we start to explore, you know, via this podcast of, you know, the communal spirit of running, because you're taking that selfish why. You're taking that thing. It is about Amanda. I am running to better myself. And I get to define what that better is, because better for me is not trying to keep up with X runner. Better for me is better than I was 6 months ago, a year ago. And it doesn't even mean like, okay, 6 months, a year ago, I ran a, you know, 2 hour half marathon. And then this year I ran a 2:10 half marathon, but I'm better because XYZ. And so we say it's selfish, but I now want you to explore how that selfish why also becomes the driver for getting involved in the community.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And so for you, how are you taking that selfish why? This is my running is about Amanda, and I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing it to make myself better. And how are you taking that why into community? How are you allowing the community to turn that selfish why, something that's inward? I mean, and not that the why is focused on yourself, but how is the community helping you in that endeavor?
There's something about everybody suffering at the same time. So regardless of if it's a spin class or a yoga class, you know, you show up to that class and you're maybe you're not really motivated that day, but you showed up anyways. You checked the box, you put the shoes on, you tied them up, you're wearing your gear, you shut up to run club and you're like, I really don't want to do this. But half the people there are also in that same mindset. And you can see it on their face. They had a very long Monday or a very long Tuesday or whatever day run club happens to be, you know, you can tell that some people there are also thinking the same thing, but there's something about all of us suffering together at the same time that makes it kind of okay. And then once it's kind of okay, you're okay with already being there and just finishing that 3 mile loop or the out and back if you didn't want to do the loop or whatever it was, whatever you accomplished, it was what you needed that day. So I think just making sure that, once again, giving yourself grace for whatever training or whatever it looks like for you, it's because it's going to look different for everybody else.
And as we start to build up that consistency, I think that continues to be the thing that we look at, that thing that we continue to point to as we're not just getting involved in community, but now my selfish why has also played a role in helping other people in their selfish whys as well. And that's one of the things that I love to see is, you know, because I've noticed the growth in myself over the last X amount of years, I can help others to grow as they, you know, go after their own goals, go after their own whys, live and exist in that space, do their own things. And so as you're looking forward, you know, this is kind of always one of the things I love to ask people, but as you're looking forward, as you're, you know, seeing what's going on, both with your coaching, with point two, with getting out to run clubs, you know, what are your hopes? What are, you know, we've talked about your why, but what are your hopes? What are you looking towards? Whether it's individual for Amanda or whether it's communal, whether it's a race, whether it's something that you want to see in the community, what are your hopes for a running community and what are hopes for you?
Hopes for the running community is just to make running more accessible. Granted, I know running already is a relatively cheap sport. Well, I say cheap, I guess that's not the right word, but less expensive in comparison to winter sports, for example, where you have to have skis, you have to have a ski lift ticket to take you up there and do the skiing, etc. But running, you know, you just need a solid pair of shoes and, for, you know, women, a really good sports bra. And so those two things are relatively, you know, inexpensive if you're going entry level, and just the will to finish whatever it is you went out to do. I think in community, I noticed even for Olympic qualifying trials that there's the field of women is still quite not as diverse as I think it could be. So ideally, I'd like to see more diversity there. But I think that also comes with into community, showing our community through and through. Like, running is very accessible. So just allowing that to shine on its own. I think a lot of us, even you and I, for example, I mean, we inspire the community, even though we don't know it. I have quite a few friends, you know, from even from middle school, from elementary school, you know, of course, follow me on Instagram. And they're like, Amanda, how are you still doing this? You're so inspiring. And it's like, I'm doing it for me. And I appreciate that I'm inspiring you. And quite a few of them now have, you know, done races or continued to do and train for a marathon or half marathon. So that's exciting. I think just us showing up, regardless of what that looks like, but showing up to those run clubs, showing up and showing out for the run community does a lot, even if you think it's not, which is crazy because it's a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So now I say this all to lead up to now when I see people running, I always say, oh, go best friend. So when I'm driving by them, I'll like put my fist up. I'm like, yeah, go best friend. So my kids, when we're out hiking or walking the dog or anything, and they see somebody running, they're like, Mom, that's your best friend. Go say hi to them. They're always encouraging me to like, go say hi to my best friend because I'm always saying it when I see somebody running. So I think just, you know, constantly showing support to the community while they might just be running in the neighborhood and they're just trying to, you know, get ready for whatever it is, or because they simply enjoy it, like, go best friend. That's what I want for you. And I hope that that run made you happy. Like, go best friend. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's like that support you gave to Jules, right? I mean, it's always being there for the folks because, you know, again, while our whys feel selfish, they're about us. They're about what we want to accomplish. But that does not negate just the love and joy that we get from seeing other people celebrate their whys and completely and absolutely crush everything. And even I've had folks who are just like, oh, man, Andrew, you're like, you're so fast. And not right now, because right now I feel absolutely completely and totally off of any running game I've ever had. But that's me. That's me. And that's where I am right now. While I feel like, I hate to use the word, but while I feel like a slower runner than I was, say, about 18 months ago, I feel like a stronger runner mentally. Physically, I'm still working on it. But, you know, it's that why that continues to drive us forward. And I continue to think about myself. But then it's also like, all right, but in the midst of my why, can I also help other people with their why? And I think looking out and seeing the ways that we connect with community continues to be kind of that play on how we not only make ourselves better, but truly, like, I am loving this running boom. I am loving just seeing everyday people coming in and just saying, I mean, I love the people who come to Run Club and, you know, we ask them, okay, hey, like, what pace you looking at running? You know, how many miles are you looking at? And they'll just be like, oh, I'm kind of slow, like 12, 13 minutes. I said, hey, we've got folks who are going out there and they're doing miles right there and connecting them with them because, you know, that becomes the awesome thing of connecting with one another, seeing our why play out and helping everybody to come in there. So let's hit these end of podcast questions as we wrap our time up today. Amanda, what is your favorite distance to run?
So this is pretty unique to me, but I did an ultra earlier last year. It's called the No Man's Ultra. It was an all female race. And that race was pretty amazing. Loved that ultra. It was a 50K. I just think I loved it so much because trail running is just a little bit more of a less competitive community in the first place. So it's not really about pace. It's about just being out there and enjoying it. And boy, did I enjoy that race. Like, I mean, it was a beautiful day. It was a spring day in March and it was chilly, but not too cold. It was just, and of course, trail running brings the buffet. Like, trail runners don't run like with goo. They don't run with a Huma gel. Like they had Fritos, Coke, ginger ale, peanut butter and jelly. I think there was even soup at the food station, like the aid station. It was just, I was just like, I was blown away. I was like, this is amazing. If this is what trail running means, I'm in for it because I can show up to the buffet. I'm here. But yeah, I would say that ultra was probably really fun. But if I wanted to go a little bit lower, I'd probably do half marathon. Half marathon's fun too. It's just enough to me. It's just enough to get all the juices flowing. That sounds right, I think. Just because shorter races to me, I feel like you have to empty the tank at the 5K. It's like, whoop, you got to go real fast. And then 10K, you kind of have to be more strategic. You have to hold it in those first few miles and then kind of warm up and then kind of gas it at the end. But to me, that's 10K is a really challenging if you're trying to get a good time. So yeah, half marathon, ultra half marathon, no marathon. No listeners, in between.
Listeners, I'm telling you, half marathon is where it is at. It is undoubtedly the best distance. They need to put it in the Olympics. They need to just get rid of marathons.
They have the 5K and the 10K and the marathon. Why not a half?
I even will say to folks that a half marathon is the perfect amount of suffering that I'm willing to take as a runner in my life, because and I say that as saying I love running fast 5Ks. And I know, listeners, I try and make these questions quick, but this is another great conversation. I love 5Ks. I love running fast. I love just testing my strength. In fact, as an older runner, and I know a lot of folks are going to be like, Andrew, you're not old. But like, as someone who is more advanced in age, beyond sort of the speed work, when I think about doing like mile time trials, like I absolutely despise thinking about doing a mile time trial to like figure out my fitness. You know, I can go and I can drop a fast mile and I can make myself sick over it, but I love to just find out my fitness on a fast 5K. 10K is just a great opportunity, I think, to just go out and enjoy yourself. Like, just go out, have a fun time. You know, I have no problem. I've tried to do fast 10Ks and I'm still looking towards the day where I can just drop a sub 40. But even more so, if I run a 50 minute 10K, like I'm enjoying myself. 50 minutes, an hour, for me, that's more of an easier pace. And I'm just enjoying myself. Half marathon, I am willing to suffer. I am willing to suffer to just have the best race of my life and get out there and have fun. It's just something about that distance. All right, so we'll move on. What is your favorite thing to eat post-run? Whether that's a food, that's a snack, that's a hearty drink. What are you going to when you finish a run?
For a long run, probably 2 hours plus, I am a big fan of Tailwind Recovery. That stuff, I don't know what they put in it, but it's my favorite. Addictive. Yes, it's my favorite. It's the best. And I, as a parent, when you get back from that long run, 2+ hours, whatever it is, the grind is still on. The kids still want to go to the pool. They want to go out. So having that recovery shake definitely allows me to have the energy to entertain them. Following that, though, would probably be like a really big burrito or sushi. Yeah, I like it all. I don't know. Non-biased to any food, just whatever is ready at my house.
You know, I am finding that is a very big key qualifier when I get back from a run. I love, like, when we're at MoMac, I will love just like whatever food truck is there. But if there's not a food truck there, I'm like, whatever gets me food the fastest is going to be what I eat. And especially now on Saturdays where it's like, you know, we're meeting earlier and we have this breakfast truck and I'm just like, I need a breakfast sandwich right now, right now, whatever one you have ready, just please. Thank you. Awesome. Here's your money.
Yes. Whatever is ready. I try to be a little disciplined in meal prep throughout the week. So hopefully by the time that long run is done, I come home and I have some things that I can hop in the microwave as quick as possible because I need to eat. So
yeah. All right. And lastly, Amanda, give our listeners a reason to find and join their local run club.
Why not? Have you ever tried to join a run club? I know, I actually know quite a few runners. There's a couple of my athletes that are not fans of group running, but they have tried before. And I don't know, maybe the run clubs that they visited weren't very inclusive or didn't take a chance to get to know them. I didn't dig further. I just asked if they had. And that was their response, was that they were like, I just wasn't a big fan of it. I was just like, okay, not gonna push it. But if you haven't done it, and you're curious, or having an accountability friend, like even somebody that you don't have to know really well, but somebody that says, hey, I'm going to be here next week, Monday at this time, or Tuesday at six. I'm going to be here next Tuesday at six. So are you going to be here? And most of the time, you know, having somebody who you just met is going to be there and they're looking forward to seeing you again. Like, that's pretty exciting. Why not take that chance? Why not pick up that opportunity and also change up the run? Like, a lot of people get so the mundane of, especially when it comes to marathon training or half marathon training, even the mundane of your schedule, you're just like, oh, another 4 mile run with strides. Well, you know, you could just, how about I try to make it to that group run and I'll do my strides at the end and it'll be fine. Like, I got a little bit of a distraction because I'm running with a group or I'm doing a different route. Like, that's always nice too.
Again, why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Just
why
get
not?
Out and
why
do
not
it?
Try it? Like, it's where a runner's not going to bite you, you know? Maybe have a lot of salt on you. Maybe be really sweaty.
Yeah.
But we definitely don't bite. And there's probably hydration and more than likely food, because runners can't be too far from the food. So, and potentially a nap if you're midday. I don't know. Like, why not try it?
Why not? Why not? Just get out there and do it. What an awesome conversation. Thank you so much, Amanda. You have a good day.
You too.
Another amazing conversation. Again, I love bringing these to you folks, because you hear even just from Amanda's story how her experiences impact the coach that she is, the community participant she is, the run store employee that she is. And we hear how all of this comes together and we think about what we bring individually to our communities. And individually, what we take out of them often becomes what we're able to feed back into them. And so you heard that part about Amanda thinking she was being selfish. But sometimes in being selfish and focusing on ourselves, it gives us the ability to also focus on others, right? That's that self-care component that I will sometimes focus on. And so what a great perspective and conversation diving into Amanda's journey, where she gets her support from, and then how she supports others as well. As I wrap up the podcast here, just a constant reminder of please, I look for your support. And if there are things that I can do to get you to support me more, please let me know. Reach out to me. You can email me, andrew@runandrev.com. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram. All of those socials are in the podcast notes, as well as ways to connect with Amanda. Make sure you're following and subscribing to this podcast, because that just makes sure that it's up in your feed each and every time. You can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You just do it on the podcast as a whole. So you find the podcast, Run, Build, Grow, and then you can rate it and then review it. If you leave a review, I will read that review in the next podcast. If you go into Spotify, you do it as a comment on each episode. So think of how you do things on Facebook and Instagram. You leave a comment on the post. And so you just go into the episode, listen to it, and then you can leave a comment on the post to let me know how much you enjoyed it. I know Spotify is still rolling out this comments feature. So if you are able to leave a comment, let me know and let me know how, so we can help others to do it as well. We continue to grow this community. I invite you to please go over and subscribe on Substack, even consider becoming a paid member of the Substack and support me financially. The Substack is where I'm going to post. I've got articles, I've got devotions, I've got a lot of stuff that's coming out over there. To become a paid member, it helps to support just the whole network, the writing, the podcasting, all of that. If you want to just drop a tip, there's a link in the podcast notes to do that as well, to just drop like a one-time, hey, Andrew, awesome episode. Here's $5 for a cup of coffee. I love to see how much y'all support this podcast, how much y'all love what I'm bringing to you. And so I would love it if you would continue to support this endeavor and keep along this journey. For now, make every mile count.